How long were you there from beginning to end? Or did you break your stay?
He was up there three times, twice before we stayed up there.
Twice?
Yeah. He was up on the very beginning when they were testing. And then you were up in there on the construction when they built the bunk houses.
Yeah.
And then you went back in the mill in 1940. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we were there until about the last ones that came out in 57.
Wasn't quite the last ones, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the last few months you was up there, you were on the fire marshal and the road patrol and a little bit of everything. Getting rid of the stray cats that was left up there and dogs, that was the hardest job.
Oh, they people, just walked people, off and well, left their
people,
pets.
And people moving out, you know, and, yeah. And leaving their stuff like that, it wasn't good. So, I think most of those are just probably snow and stuff.
So you first went up 1940.
About 1936.
When we moved to Lucerne.
We moved there in 1940.
That's into Lucerne.
Yeah.
And then
you stayed at
the sometime end. Later, we bought the house up there.
Yeah, but you want to know when you first went up there?
Oh yeah.
What year was that? That was in 36 or 37 when you was up there. It's hard to remember. The exact years that you went up and worked for Charlie Dolphy on that construction work.
Yeah.
So first you were in the mine.
No, I was when I first went up there.
Yeah.
We were drilling with the. I don't know what to call them. Some kind of a water machine that operated the drills.
Uh-huh.
We drilled the face and then they'd load it and shoot it. But I didn't stay in there. I went out for work on the surface. And that was in the mill.
Mm-hmm.
That's to start with. I don't know. That was after it went back up there, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Well, when you first went up, it was just during the summer months.
Yeah.
They weren't doing much up there in the winter time there for a while. That is, it were that except a few of them that were up there. But,
do you remember, man? In the earlier days, beginning up there, when Sharp
that was in there. I can't remember.
That name don't mean nothing to you, as far as that place is concerned. Mm. I think he was in charge of the diamond drilling, to start with. Mm. And then it was underground. And he was in charge of that because I went to underground with him to work.
I see.
And that they had their meals at that time, what they call the Honeymoon Heights.
The old camp, old mining camp.
Right. I guess the first engineer and his wife, newlyweds moved up there is where it's got its name.
Newman?
I think so,
wasn't
yeah.
It Newman? What Newman was that? If they call the reason they call that Honeymoon Heights. There's quite a story to it.
Honeymoon Heights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few of them lived up there for some time.
What was the fellow's name who used to run the place at Lucerne before that started?
You don't mean Oscar?
No.
Lee?
Who? Lee.
Lee?
Lee what?
Jack Lee.
Jack Lee. He was
his wife was out at Cambridge.
Wasn't they the one that was married up there and they called that Honeymoon Heights?
It might be.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah. Could be too.
Jack Lee, I believe his name was.
Yeah.
I thought
Jack
they were married
and
that is their honeymoon up there.
Jack and Alice Lee, I think. That could have been. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm a newspaper clipper.
There's a whole lot of them. Don't remember about it.
Now, you you said one of your jobs was as an oiler. What is that?
Taking care of the machinery.
Keeping the conveyors, electric motors, two rock crushers supplied with oil. And down through the mill and any place where they needed oiling.
Bearings and stuff.
Bearings of any kind, right? They had the...
That's the other side, what you want to read.
Those rock crushers that they had the balls in?
Yes.
Had to keep them loaded with big bars of hard oil.
Mm-hmm.
Big chunks of them, about so big, and they were put down in on the bearings on each end of the crushers or the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned, why, that lubricated the bearings on them.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So let's see. From you were up there just about the total length. Time of the house on mine operation, weren't you?
Before it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you lived at Lucerne at first?
Yeah.
And then how long till you got up on the Holden Village level?
2 years, wasn't it? In 42 when we moved up.
I think it was 42 when we bought the house up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you know, up there when we were up there, they had just a certain number of houses. And they did get permitted one time to build a few more, but those went, a lot of them went to the engineers and, you know, the other guys. And finally, the man that we bought from, he was ill, and he couldn't work in the mill anymore, couldn't work in the mine, wasn't it? And he had to leave up there. And that's the way we got to buy the house.
What was her name?
Lowry.
Yeah,
Leonard Lowry.
Leonard?
Uh-huh. And then in 51 or 50 or 51 that they let out those lots down there by the creek, and so many people came in there and built houses down there.
Did you have children while you were at home?
We had two boys when we went up there. Let's see, the oldest one was born in 1928. He was born in Chelan. Well, both of them were born in Chelan. Mm-hmm. One of them was born in 28 and one in 35. So they were both in school, you know.
Yeah.
Growing
up.
Mm-hmm. Of course, when they got old enough for high school, they had to be sent out to high school.
Mm-hmm.
One boy went to Wilbur and the other boy went to Wenatchee.
Uh-huh.
They started in staying with grandmothers to start with.
Grandmothers are handy sometimes, aren't mm-hmm. they?
Well, yeah, but I guess 1 year Joe stayed with your mother, and one year Dale stayed with my mom. And then my folks moved, and his mother wasn't keeping house very well. She was a visiting a lot, so we decided it was better to get the other one another place, you know, to stay there in Wenatchee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they...
I'm almost to the bottom here.
Yeah.
What was it like living in that kind of area? You know, that's quite different from the way most people live.
Well, the first winter we were up there at Holden in the snow. I didn't care much about it.
Yeah.
Well, then by the next winter, I went to work in the post office, didn't I? As a temporary clerk during the war, see? And
mm-hmm.
walked from where we lived, cleared downtown and back, you know?
Yeah.
Come home at after 6 o'clock in the evening when they closed the mm-hmm. post office. Maybe one night I came home and was used to a lot of snow. But they'd run that big snow plow they had up Dozer, tear up, and they had me up a bank of snow. Oh, they're about probably 12, 15 feet high.
Yeah.
You couldn't get in your house?
And well, yeah, I climbed over that. But here they'd come the other way and piled it all down in our driveway.
Oh, no.
I could look down into the house from the roadway.
Yeah.
I could see him sitting there in the house. And I kept trying to make him wake up and bring the, or come to the outside and bring the shovel out so I could get, he could shovel me out. So I scooted down over that bank and into the house. And there he sat. Didn't even know I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think something odd about that snow up there, too. When it had come down, you know, to cover the houses like those pictures show,
mm-hmm.
when it would start melting. And sometimes they'd be, what, pretty near 2 feet?
Better than that, about 4 feet.
A space around the house. And
it'd
snow.
It melted from the building out.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the
eaves
on
was
the
warmer.
House is
yeah.
about 2 feet.
Yeah.
And then it'd melt. And the house warm, and the water run down and follow that ice out, and it keep melting, and it melting out further, and the water run down, it freeze, you know.
Icicles.
And it just become a tunnel right around the house.
Oh,
that was astonishing. Then when it began to thaw in the spring, all that ice is breaking and dropped back against the house.
In orchards and never did, you know, have a place to live,
mm-hmm.
except, you know, was what you grant. Around Slant, down around the BB orchard when we lived down in there. You can ask these kids that's about the age of our youngest boy, and they think that was a great life up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have everything. They had everything they wanted to do up there.
Mm-hmm. No, the people I've talked to didn't feel like they were missing anything.
No, we had company. Well, it was your brother come over from Seattle. I think about the first time he came up there to see us. And he said, well, what do you people do up here? He lived in the city all his life.
Yeah.
I said, well, you'd just be surprised at all the things that we have to do.
Yeah.
People were neighborly. And everybody was just one big happy bunch. That's the way it was, it seemed.
Boy, the greatest time they had is the picnics.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they have those?
In the ballpark, just above the town site.
Mm-hmm.
On up the creek from there.
Yeah.
I think there's some of that part left out there where they used to have
had two or three different times that they had picnics, and they wanted us to get together so they could clean the brush off of the ground for the park or for the ball ground.
Yeah.
And that's what they done.
Mm-hmm.
They finally got it cleaned up, and then they had the shows up for teens, you know,
mm-hmm.
baseball
softball.
Teams, softball it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they did that, and they got some awful hard games out of you.
Oh, I've seen the umpire get pushed around a good many times. Talk
like
about
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, you talk about these big league games. Then they bowled, and oh, they were just, you know, even had a gun club, and Boy Scouts, and Girl Scouts, and Cub Scouts, and all kinds of things like that. What more could you have? Church,
yeah.
Sunday school.
Uh-huh.
We had good teachers up there for the schools.
Yeah. Where did you have your church services?
In the rec hall.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah, they used that for a lot of things. Just a time or two they had ministers that came up there and just worked up there and, you know, lived
mm-hmm.
there and worked
mm-hmm.
and then they had the services. It was all undenominational, just
yeah.
get together and they'd have programs for Easter and Vacation Bible School and all that kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. Mm-hmm. It was really a good place to live. Everybody got used to that snow. They didn't seem to mind it. You had
mm-hmm.
to walk, and that's the only way you could get around up
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was lucky. He had a car most of the time up there, a Jeep and a pickup and stuff that he had to use on the job in the winter times, where he had to go around and keep the snow fire stations shoveled out.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have a big storm, so.
Mm-hmm.
And they was quite often. Like a snowstorm, you betcha.
Yeah.
They'd come down there sometime, they'd run 3-4 days at a time and snow.
Just steady snow.
Mm. Very little break in it, in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
It'd come down and then it'd clear off a little and then it'd come again. And 2 to 4 feet to a time.
Yeah.
And those firehouses, we call them hose houses, is what it was.
Because that's where the hose was started.
Where you put your fire hose on to the fire hydrant inside
right.
of the house. Hunted out to, for fire protection for the mm-hmm. settlement.
Did you ever have any fire scares up there?
We had fires.
No. Yeah.
In your houses or on the mine or where?
In the houses mostly.
There was, I remember 2 houses that burned while we were up there. That one just down in the corner from our place, and then that one where, that fellow that, he left his house, went out on the boat that morning, and when he got down to Chelan, they let him know that his house had burned down. They never did prove anything on him. And the other fire that burnt that one house down was caused from the oil, or the furnace blew up, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Blew up and it just spread fire all over the inside of the house. The mother and one of the children was gone down to the store, and the older girl got the other little ones out of there. But I think there have been some fires.
Who was that?
There was in Bill Clark's old house. There's a man down in Chelan, the same name. Used to be an oil man. He died here not long ago.
Warden,
yeah, it was Warden's house.
Yeah. It wasn't Dick Warden, but then it was Warden.
Well, it was Dick Warden, the same name as the man in Chelan, only they weren't any relation.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Heated with oil then instead of wood, is that right?
We used wood.
I see.
For us.
Yep.
And it was as you wished, I guess, whatever. You know. Mm-hmm. But quite a few of them did burn wood.
Well, there's so much wood around.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it took the whole summer to get it cut up and get it hauled in.
Get enough of it.
Lord.
I don't even find that stuff.
The company finally shut down on them using the company's trucks.
It was a problem to get it.
A problem to get.
Get your wood after you got
wood
cut.
Moved in for the winter.
Where one time you got a bunch of logs. Who?
Yeah.
Who got the logs for you? Then you had to hire
the
somebody.
Company.
Did they bring them in for you?
Yeah.
They were clearing some out, weren't they, or something? And they were, weren't they cutting some down or something?
Yeah,
there
was some logs left to the side. You see, they had to cut a right away for the electric line to go in there.
Right.
And then them logs, the first one place and another, they were scattered little piles.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a truckload of logs brought in, cut up for wood in that way, if that's what they were, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I had a friend of mine that had a drag saw, and he come in and cut it up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and one of the other guys bought a chainsaw, and then they went in the wood business. they could get a permit to cut so much from the Forest Service, see?
I see.
And then sell it out at a reasonable rate to help cover the cost of cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you had the pickup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But,
Beach Miller and I bought the, what is the name of that saw?
I don't matter. I don't remember now what it was.
Montgomery Ward.
Was it Montgomery Ward saw? I don't know.
Anyway, it was a 4-foot cut. Pretty good sized saw. And we worked cutting little 4 or 5 different years. Summertime, it was cutting wood for different people. They had to have it cut. Somebody had to do it.
Weren't you, didn't you have to pay so much to the Forest Service for your stumpage? Or how did they figure that? And then you guys figured out what you had left after you paid your expenses for your saw and stuff. And if they've had bad luck and broke a chain while they had to, and that sometimes they'd have a little bit left over. Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, it's really a something, Walter.
What were some of the interesting things that happened that, you know, were not just everyday living?
Well, we used to get on the kids' hand sled up the corner of our house, go around this corner, go around that corner, and go around that corner, and then drag the sled back up the hill.
Just like a bobsled run, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And well, you lived way up on the last
row. Oh, yeah, we were up on that last row. We're up in the far corner. I don't know whether you can see the... That, was there a picture of the houses and some of these pictures? I don't think you can spot them in there. They're too...
You have a map of that layout.
Well, that's what I was thinking about.
Oh.
But I don't know just where they would be. That goes to Kaling's here. Oh, here. No, I don't think it shows it plain enough. This shows the... houses down there around in the circle in the town site, and the trees have kind of hid these because we were clear back up on the far corner of that camp
up there,
Winston Camp.
Yeah, I've been up there many times. There's some good raspberry picking up there.
Oh, you better believe it. Down the alley that summer that we were up there, we lived like kings that last summer we were there because. From the time they were notified they were going to shut the place down, you know, why people started looking for jobs other places, and they'd be moving out, and they'd come over. You still got your deep freeze going, haven't you? Oh, yes. Well, here's a whole box of things. Put it in your deep freeze. Then all down the alleyway, these were big raspberries, you know. And we'd start out, and we'd go out with a bucket, and we'd come back with it full. And oh, that was really something. Yeah, we had a... quite a time there.
Did you hike up to the lakes very much?
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Not very much, but quite a few of them did.
About the best trip that we ever took, there was 11 of us left out there on just beyond the ballpark. We had 14 pack horses, didn't we?
Yeah.
There was 11 of us riding and 3 packs. Oscar Getty owned the horse. You've probably heard of Oscar.
I've met him, yes.
Yes. Well, anyway, we started up, and we went up around Lyman Lake and around the across there, over Seattle Pass,
mm-hmm.
and over just to, up to Image Lake, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We were right across from Glacier Peak.
Right.
Quite a ways, but just in the in the background. We were up there... about 3-4 nights,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of us. Coming back home, going up, my little horse decided she'd lay down the creek with me. So he was behind me, and another one of the fellows was right in front of me, and Eric said to me, he said, get your feet out of the stirrups, she'll roll with you. And the guy heard him hollering, the one ahead of me, and he turned around and he hollered at her. And about the time I got my feet out of the stirrups, why, up she come, you know. And just about pitched me off into the creek. I got wet up to my waist.
Yeah.
went all the way out of the hole and coming back down, why, one of the pack horses that got tangled up with a bunch of harness, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yellow jackets or something. That poor horse, it bucked, and everything from underclothes to decks of cards to everything was on the trail.
See? Half a mile.
And all that horse had left on her was the tin dishpan that was a flopping her on her heels. And when the men caught up with her, she was just like that. She was so scared, it was just terrible.
She was just shaking.
Yeah. And then about two or three weeks later, seven of us, the three women and Oscar and I went up to Lyman Lake Huckleberry and up there in the meadows.
Oh, yes.
And we were going to stay in that old cabin up there that night. Got up there and somebody was already in it. So the three of us women, we pitched our sleeping bags here, right out in the open, you know, here and here and here around the lake. Oscar gets clear over here like he's afraid of us. And
sounds like Oscar.
One of the women that it was cold, so she said, well, she wasn't going to take her clothes off. She was going to call down in her sleeping bag with her clothes on. She got down in there and got it zipped up and it got stuck.
And
she got too warm, and there she was trying to. Well, we didn't sleep all night. We just laughed and talked. I don't know whether Oscar did or not. And then Mrs. Field, have you ever met Florence Field?
No, I want to get in touch with her.
Well, anyway, she was one of them who was with us. She's the one that always liked to rig these parties up. And she wanted to get up early because she didn't like it because Oscar wasn't very clean about his cooking. So she decided she's going to get up early that morning and cook breakfast. So she had to get up early to wake him up, but she did. She got up early. I don't think we slept any much. We come out there with, we had about 80-some quarts of huckleberries, didn't we?
Somewhere around there.
Oscar took his, he took the big pack bags up, you know, the wooden ones. And we put in about, 6 or 7 inches of huckleberries. Mm-hmm. And then quite a few heavy layers of newspaper to just come through without smashing or juicing up or anything.
Yeah.
Of course, at that time, we had to can them. We didn't have any other way to take care of them, you know. But we split them four ways. Oscar got a fourth of them, and we got a fourth, and the other two women had a fourth each. We had a lot of fun. He got snoring in the night, and they thought that there was the two guys come up, Hal and Eric, was supposed to come up the next day, horseback, where we were. And they said, well, you suppose those guys decide they come up tonight, you know? Oh, that was Oscar snoring.
Did his wife ever go on any of those pack trips?
No. I think she used to go with him
some. So too.
But they're, the last few years that they lived up there, I think she was teaching someplace.
I see. Mm-hmm.
She taught up there at
Hidden Lake.
Was she up there at Pekin? Is that where she was?
She was up there 1 or 2 years. I don't know which.
I don't know.
And she'd been up there before, 4 or 5 years before. Yeah. And then she taught somewhere outside.
Yeah.
Then to come back to Lucerne. And then 3 or 4 years later, well, then she went back into Seegan and taught again. I don't know, 2 more
she
years,
taught,
I think.
She taught up there at Holden, too.
Yeah, I don't know what year that was.
I don't remember either. But and they had the post office down there at Lucerne. Oscar wanted me to help him over there, so I went over one day, and you couldn't understand his method of keeping track of anything, you know. Oh, he said, you do this, you do that, you do this. That's all there is to it, you know. Well, I made a few mistakes, but nothing that didn't get straightened out.
From there on for how many years? 3 or 4 years afterwards, he'd always come and get her to come down and straighten these books out.
Yeah. Well, I go down and make all these quarterly reports.
Yeah, quarterly report. Yeah. Get it all made out so
that's
there wouldn't
be no mistakes.
That's
when she was away teaching, you know. She did that when she was home there, but after she went, their business down there, I think, fell down on their cabins and stuff that they had to rent, and they weren't making so much out of that. So I used to go down and audit these books for them. I have to make out all the reports on the money orders and all that kind of stuff.
Now, did you call where you lived Winston Village, or did you call it the home site?
Winston Camp.
Winston Camp.
Mm-hmm, that's what they call it.
I see.
It
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we had a club up there, the women about... Now, this club was strictly the ones up in the camp. It wasn't the ones... We called it the town site.
Right, right.
They had their own club down there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just our members. If any of them moved down into there, why, they automatically weren't a member of that club anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think there was about 32 of us.
Was there?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do mostly
play
when you met?
Play
card
pino.
Party.
Play pinochle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they had several organizations up there. One was in conjunction with the orthopedic hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we made and had a big bazaar every fall. And then when they put the hospital in down there at Chelan, mm-hmm. then these two groups are... stuff all out on display. They divided up the women in groups, the members,
mm-hmm.
and that gave them a little competition on their working on things,
yeah.
which made a lot. Everybody tried to get the most more made than the other one did.
Well, that helped the orthopedic society.
Yeah, yeah. At one time, that group up there was, according to their size, was the largest first group that contributed to the mm-hmm. orthopedic hospital of anywhere around.
Isn't that great?
And their penny drives was always quite, you know, something. We'd always get quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any of the money that was used to hold in the...
We thought we had some. I thought I had some 10-cent pieces, and I don't know. I don't think I have any more.
They disappeared.
Things like that are hard to keep track
yeah,
of.
Yeah, we had some old money, old coins. All different kinds, and those aluminum money from up there. We
right.
had, I don't know, there's 5 or 6 different pieces. Mm-hmm. Things come up missing. I don't know if we got any of it yet or not.
I don't know. I thought there was a 10-cent piece left in here, but when I got this all out the other day looking for it, I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I know there's a notice on the bottom of one of these blue things that says, if anyone has an extra 10-50-cent piece and wants to make some money from a collector, write to Jack Harville, Box 362, Afraid of Washington.
Oh.
So they'd buy it from you. I
yeah.
thought I had some 10-cent money, but I don't think I've got it anymore. That's okay. That's a tax to me. There's a dime, if you can read it. I told you I had... Still had a dime of it left.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But none of the 50-cent pieces. The dimes were outlawed, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And that's. But I did have some major tax tokens, which I hope we never have to use.
Why did they outlaw them?
They were too hard to keep track of.
I see.
And then they got so that they were getting more silver money in there, you know, for use.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a tax trick, too, I think.
Yeah, I wondered why they used this kind of money instead of regular money.
Well, it was hard to get money in there to have for exchange, you know.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when they got the grocery stores in there, why, you could buy your groceries and stuff with this, that tin money.
Yeah.
And that cut out a whole lot of the, yeah.
So Houston didn't provide a bank up there?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Well, in your village, did you have any kind of city council or mayor or anyone to plan the village or work on disputes?
They were trying to get somebody to take over and be a judge.
Uh-huh.
But it never materialized.
Yeah.
I'll set that back out. Mm-hmm. No, they never had any problems like that. I guess if they did, it fell on Curzon or Jack Roper or one of the two of them to kind of keep things straightened out, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't your original superintendent named Brown? Where did I hear that name?
Browning?
Might be.
I don't remember Browning, do you? Sharp and...
Who was the first superintendent?
Mr. Curzon was the first one that... or manager, wasn't it?
He was a manager.
Yeah, when we went up there, wasn't he? Who was up there before that? I don't remember.
Sharp.
For Sharp? Well, that's what I thought, Sharp.
No, he was the head of the workforce. That was before they started the mine. At the start of it.
Sharp was up there. I just don't remember anybody.
So Sharp was pretty much in charge of construction, and then Curzon in charge of the actual mining?
No. Curzon
come in there after
put
Sharp?
Up the buildings, and Charlie Dolphy was a carpenter foreman for the whole works
mm-hmm.
on building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And built the bunk houses and all the dwellings down there in the circle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was after Curzon took over.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. The only one I can remember up there is, you know, was Curzon when he was in there. That's about the only one that...
Well, who actually ran the mining operation?
The mine superintendent?
Yeah.
Why, wasn't it?
Well, Bly was one of them. There was four different superintendents underground at different times.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the names of them.
Well,
that's one thing, it just won't stay with me. I don't remember too good anyway.
Yeah.
There's Richardson, what did he do? Price? Bly?
Bly was just one of the superintendents on the ground.
Yeah. What's the more of them that used to play up there?
What is that? The Russian.
Zandon? Zandon Dvorak. Zandon Dvorak was the one that...
he was superintendent on the mill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a Russian.
Now, this picture here is where you're going into Winston Camp. See? That's down on the... On the lower corner there, just
yeah.
There used to be a Boy Scout cabin or something right there, just as you start up the hill. Is that still there?
Right here.
No, it'd be back over in here.
No, they burned that down too.
I don't know why,
because it wasn't anywhere near the rest of the houses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they
see,
did.
We have never been back up there since we pulled out that evening.
Well, you should, because it's just lovely. Of course, where you lived is gone back to nature now. Burned and bulldozed it. But you can still see the rock walls, and a lot of the raspberries are still up there, and a lot of the daisies that they planted. And
you know, these black caps.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
And I went and got a bunch of them and put them up there. And I was going to have a whole bunch of them there by my house, you know.
Yeah.
Right handy.
Well, out behind the house, a little draw come down between me and the next and the neighbor, allowing to fix an embankment here and planted those right down under that bank.
Yeah.
And you know, They just growed the wood.
No berries.
It never did bear a berry. It never blossomed. It was all wood. And the doggonedest briar patch you ever saw in your life. A black cap, I found out afterwards, they won't grow where it's good growing. They've got to be out
like
on a scab patch.
Soil.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the only place you can find them when you're looking for them.
Right.
Is on a scab patch.
Uh-huh.
Well, I never knew, I never thought about it that way.
Like those two big bushes we had that was growing out the rock wall out on there on the lawn, you remember? What
oh,
they,
yeah.
They grew all right, but those that he moved and tried to get to grow.
You've got to put them where it's hard to grow. It's hard to live no. for them, you know?
Yeah.
Life is hard for them, and they do all right.
And they, and they'll.
I never knew that about the black caps at all.
Oh, I had a. I think this is a list of those. See, they went up to Holden in 77. A bunch of
yeah. Are you going to the reunion?
We can't make the trip up to Holden in the picnic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We couldn't go 5 years ago, and I don't think that he's able to make that trip up there. That's a long day.
Yeah.
And then if they'd have one day, but I can see why they have them both at the same time. You know, one day right after the other, it's nice for people that come from any distance.
From distance, right.
But for mm-hmm. us people that go up there and take our picnic dinner up there,
mm-hmm.
you can't be going up there and back up there the next day for that.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to. I know we had a notice from Nigel and one of the women that I talked to, she said, if you didn't go up last time, said you better go this time. But I still don't think that we can make it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't heard really too much about it, but you know, when you think about it, why, the time's getting pretty close.
Yes, it is. The 8th.
Yeah.
This Sunday is the 1st, so.
Yeah, just the month's just gone by too fast.
Mm-hmm. I really think you'd enjoy seeing the village.
Yeah. Well, if a person goes up on the regular passenger boat, what kind of connections can you make to get on up to Holden if we went up in the weather?
Well, you pay the Holden bus for your trip.
There is a bus down there.
Right. Every day it meets the boat. Of course,
oh, yeah.
In the winter it only runs 3 times a week,
yeah.
But all the rest of the time. And then you can buy lunch at the village if you want to, or you can bring your own picnic lunch,
yeah.
You know.
That's just ordinarily.
Yeah. You'd get there about 12:30 and you'd have to leave about 2.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have very long up there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what do you have to do for staying overnight up there?
Just write for a reservation.
Yeah. Now, what is the charge on the for overnight staying, do you know?
No, I'm sorry. You'd have to ask them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the best. Then you'd have time to get up to the
You know, I think if to do that, I think we'd enjoy it more. It costs a little more, but I think we'd enjoy that more to go up and stay overnight than we would this hurry up trip.
I think so.
That's all right for these younger people.
Well, the thing about the trip, it gives you a chance to visit with the other people.
Yeah. Well, we'll be on hand at the picnic the next morning, and we had there was quite a few of them.
Uh-huh.
Stayed over and you know, come over to the park to the picnic.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. 7, just think if we, the boat leaves at 7 o'clock from Chelan.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to leave here by 5:30, something like that, to get up there in time. And the last time they went up, there was some of them didn't get back till 9:30 or later at night.
Well, they have
a
new boat now, you see.
I don't think they're going to use the new boat. They're going to use the old Speedway and the old Lady of the Lake.
Yeah, but before, when they only had those two, they were having to bring everybody back at once.
Oh, yeah. That.
Where this way, you know, the big boat will take care of all the others, and you would have these two boats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't get held up coming back.
Too late. Well, we thought about it, and we just decided we... It's better not. But I think a trip up later on, and when it gets a little bit cooler, not before it gets too cool.
Well, I think September is the prettiest month up there.
Yeah, it'd be beautiful up there. Take me up for my birthday, and I'll first October.
Yeah, you should do that. You really should.
Yeah, we spent a good many years up there. I had a little experience too. The gentleman that was working on the switchboard up there got he had this ailment in his neck. It was, he had a twitching neck, and I can't remember what his name was anyway. They coaxed me, just come up here and work till he goes to the hospital and gets this operation, and then he'll be back, he'll be all right. So I went up there. We had to watch the switchboard. We had 50 plug-ins on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to clean the office buildings up, for the offices for the different guys up there, in the restrooms and the hallway. Mm-hmm. But just be up there in that place some night at 11:30. I worked graveyard, see?
Uh-huh.
No, swing shift, wasn't it? Swing shift. Just be up there some evening and the electric storm come up and those old things on that switchboard start popping down, you know, and ringing. Sometimes every one of them on the doggone thing, you'd be ringing at one time. And you can't push them back up for fear somebody wants somebody, you know.
Right.
So you just have to start in going across the thing and hold over this till you get them all put back up in place.
Now, the switchboard was up on the mine level?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Clear up at the top. Sometimes I used to walk the steps and go down through the mill to get down on
right.
the level to come on down home. But I finally found out that one of the guys that worked in the compressor room up there was getting off about that same time. And I think there was 15 minutes or something like that difference in the, because
mm-hmm.
he took time off for lunch or something. Anyway, he either had to wait for me or I had to wait a few minutes for him. But rather than to walk down that road at night or come down through the mill, I'd wait for him.
Yeah.
But the fellow they operated on, the first operation didn't do the trick, so they had him down there, what did I work, about 6 months or so?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, they kept him in California for a while, and then they decided that they'd do another operation on him, and he died during the surgery this time.
Oh.
So there I was, stuck with that job. Finally, one of the men took it that got his back hurt, didn't
mm-hmm.
he? Hub Paulson took it. He'd gotten his back hurt, and so
mm-hmm.
he took it. It was a man's job anyway up there
yeah.
that time of night.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't any place for a woman to be.
What did they run? Three shifts?
Yeah,
mine?
Yeah, most of the time they did.
Yeah, the last part was only two, day and night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they did have three.
They run three shifts in
yeah,
mine?
Yeah, most of the time they did.
Yeah, the last part was only two, day and night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they did have three.
So they started cutting down production toward the end, is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah.
About
yeah.
how long before they closed?
Oh, I wouldn't know about that. But I know that the operation underground, I couldn't prove anything.
The way it seemed.
Yeah, the way it seemed. They were going down, you know,
yeah.
in the underground, going down more and more. And they find a place where there's quite a bit of ore, and they work on that, and at the same time they're going down still further. Well, when they get down and find another place, the different levels
mm-hmm.
of ore going down. Well, they'd leave this place, they have it marked on the map, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they'd call pockets of over here, and up on another level would be another pocket, maybe two. And when at the last, before they shut down, I think it was about 3 months, they started in pulling these pockets out. And boy, of all the ore you ever saw, it was rich. really rich. Well, they just load the things up, and their mill wasn't able to handle but a 4% recovery of what the mill was built for. And if they'd have built it for more, then they'd have made a big recovery, but only 4 or 5% is all they'd get out of that, and it was a lot richer than that. Mm-hmm. Well, it went right on out. Nobody ever said anything about it.
Mm. So it's just sitting on the tailings now, huh?
Yeah. But and they can't recover it there.
Mm.
You have too much of it to handle to get it.
Yeah.
It is a loss. Nobody ever said anything about it at all. I don't know. I can't understand why they'd pull that out of there and give it the expense of getting it and putting it through the mill. And the only recovery that I understood that they could get was 4 or 5%. 4 was what it was built for.
Yeah.
Wasn't built to recover any more
very
than
much.
That.
Well, everything, as somebody said, they ran out of ore. There's ore back up. But it just got to be expensive to...
Too expensive to bring it up.
And all their equipment was getting, you know, outdated, and just took them longer to, you know, to do it, to recover than it did.
And then they had a couple of mishaps. Electric pumps underground, they have to keep those going to pump water out, keep it from being flooded. Well, there's one or two of them quit. Very bad, and then it filled up, and then they'd have to pump it out. And finally, one of them quit, and they didn't get to take care of it right, and it just filled up a whole lot of the mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what all they had to do to take care of it from there on. Those great big electric motors they had in there to pump that stuff out. Well, it went haywire, that's all there was to it. Just quit.
They were getting old.
That is expensive.
Oh, yes.
Boy, that, no wonder they had to quit.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's some parts of the mine that they shut off, closed up, and put a bulkhead in, and pumped the tailings back in there and filled it all up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what part of it is. That just what I heard.
Yeah.
I couldn't say anything about it.
Didn't those break loose one time? And
yeah, that's what happened. One of them broke loose one time and just flooded the whole, all of it down below. And you run out and then run right on down and just kept going down through the hole to the bottom. Two or three of them, and then they shut it all down.
Yeah.
Person never see any records of anything like that. I guess the person could get the records from the company, what had happened and what all it took to put it back, or where they put it back.
I don't know whether you could or not. You might be able to, but I doubt it. I was just going through these names the other night. How many of them was Eula Parker that their names have changed since they lived up there?
Yeah.
There's quite a few of them.
Now, after you left Holden, where did you go?
Am I going to
Uranium City by
Ford. No?
Senate Ford, yeah.
Ford.
Close to Ford.
I worked over there in the
Uranium plant.
Uranium plant.
Construction and maintenance, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then left there and went to
Lincoln
on a sawmill down on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Worked there for 11 years anyway. Then we come down here.
Been
retired.
We've been down here since 71.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moved in here. Yeah, we moved there at we moved there at Lincoln in 58 with Solomon. And you worked till June, last of June 1970 before you retired down there.
Were there any special rules that if they were broken, people had to leave?
How do you mean, where?
Character-wise?
Up at Holden Village.
Character-wise? Or what?
No, not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that would bother a person, all of the lots where the buildings were built, the company rented those from the Forest Service in a group, and then the individual rented from the company and built the house. And if a person wanted to stay up there, I suppose he could get permission from the Forest Service. I don't know.
You mean to stay on there after they'd closed down?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
Of course, you wouldn't have had power or...
You wouldn't have had no electricity.
Right.
Wouldn't have been any point in staying up there. Really, you know.
How was the company to work for?
Good. Hmm? Really good.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in quite a few of the, what do they call these fellows that...
parole convicts, weren't they?
Were out on...
parole.
Parole.
Mm-hmm.
Brought those in there to work.
Quite a few Mexicans at times.
Yeah.
The Mexicans built a fire down there in one of the dormitories one night to get warm.
And during the end of the war, a bunch of German prisoners were brought in. And they went to work underground. They were experienced miners, you know, from their place over there in Germany. That is quite a novelty for a whole lot of people. But they all turned out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they lived in
there. They were just humans, just same as the rest of us, only had a different language.
Well, a lot of this country is peopled by native Germans, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Third and fourth generation, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But they worked pretty good. They didn't have any problem with them.
Not a bit, no. They, one of them, there was terrible stubborn. And he hated to be bossed. Told what to do or anything. But I don't know what happened. Something happened in their work that he finally took it and went ahead and done just the same the rest of them was. He was all right.
Hmm.
And after he turned around that way, well, he wouldn't want a better worker.
Yeah.
He was a good man. But he acted like he thought they were putting it over on him, you know, all the time.
Suspicious.
Oh, boy. That was terrible. But after they got acquainted and got to going, they wouldn't want any better workers than those prisoners were.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've understood from the fellows that worked along with them inside of them.
Well, it'd be pretty hard to escape from up there unless you had a map and a lot of know-how in the mountains.
Yeah, you'd have to know how to get out of there. Our oldest son took a bunch of scouts. And they went up the Andean, didn't they?
Yeah.
And back over across the mountains here.
Right.
That was...
There's a summit trail up there going from Andean going north. And it goes into... passes ahead of Holden. Mm-hmm. And when they come to that, well, then they come down into Holden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then was it last year or 2 years ago that Mike took his... It was 2 years ago. Mike took his, our oldest grandson, took his wife and two older boys, and they went up there and camped up there. They hiked up, back up the mountains, and they were there at the village at noontime.
Mm-hmm.
He made a speech in the dining hall there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That, I think it was 2 years ago that he was up there. See, he was the first, he was born up there at the hospital. At Holden, he wasn't supposed to be.
Oh, he came as a surprise.
But they got ready to have that baby, and the doctor gave her some pills to make her sleep during the night so they wouldn't...